Radio Daily for weekend eve, which means hopefully the chores will be ending soon. Probably not. There's still a whole other day of stuff to do. I'm babbling. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 27th of May. I'm the person telling you that you're here joining us on this fine, fantastic day. Who's us? Well, geekradiodaily.com, of course. Come on. You subscribed. You should remember. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the guy that always loves having a good time. And when you invite him to another Zoom call at work, yeah, it's Podcasting for Siegfried.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
Oh, yeah, babies.
Hi, everyone. I get it done, or I'll later, people are after, whatever, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You're projecting so hard, you could point yourself at a wall and show off PowerPoint presentations.
And that way I could also be a karaoke setup. What happened today, sir?
In 1890, two U.S. patents for the first jukebox were issued to Louis Glass and his business associate, William S. Arnold, describing a coin-actuated attachment for phonographs.
1927, the Ford Motor Company stops manufacturing the Ford Model T and begins retooling its plant to manufacture the Ford Model A, which means the alphabet used to be different.
1930, in New York City, the Chrysler Building, the tallest man-made structure in the world, opens to the public.
Same day, same year, Richard Drew of 3M invents masking tape. That doesn't mean you use it as a mask.
Oh. 1931, Auguste Piccard and Charles Nipfer become the first men to enter the stratosphere when they ride their balloon to an altitude of 51,800 feet, which, of course, is nearly 10 miles above the Earth. The feat requires the use of a pressurized cabin, which Piccard designed. Onboard experiments include the use of an electroscope to investigate cosmic rays.
1939, DC Comics debuts its second superhero in Detective Comics number 27, Batman, who would go on to become one of the greatest commercial successes in the comic industry. Oh yeah, this issue also marks the first appearance of Commissioner Gordon.
1946, tests of the Westinghouse / Glenn L. Martin Stratovision, which is, of course, an airborne system for television relay, are conducted on the U.S. East Coast between Boston and Detroit.
1953, Universal International releases their first 3D film, It Came From Outer Space, with stereophonic sound, directed by Jack Arnold, starring Richard Carlson, Barbara Rush, and Charles Drake. The film is based on a story written by Ray Bradbury.
1959, after nearly a decade of use, the MET finally deactivates the Whirlwind computer. The system, which was the first computer to operate in real time and use video displays for output, was unveiled in 1951 on Edward R. Murrow's national news show, See It Now.
1977, the Walt Disney Company dedicates the Space Mountain ride in Tomorrowland at Disneyland. The cost of constructing the ride was $20 million in 77 money. Figure that out, because I didn't look it up this time.
I think it should have been dedicated to Ric Flair. 1986, Dragon Quest, the game credited as setting the template for role-playing games, is released in Japan.
1994, the Tokamak fusion test reactor at Princeton University's plasma physics lab breaks the record for the highest temperature produced in a laboratory when it reaches a plasma to 510 million degrees Celsius, 918 million Fahrenheit, if that's the way you roll.
1995, in Culpeper, Virginia, the actor Christopher Reeve is paralyzed from the neck down after falling from his horse in a riding competition.
2006, Enphase Technology announces it's demonstrated a holographic storage drive capable of recording 515 gigabits of data per square inch, setting a record for the highest commercial data storage density ever achieved.
2007, scientists at the Leiden University Medical Center announced that they have successfully completed sequencing the DNA of a woman for the first time.
2688, in San Dimas, California, Rufus steps into a time machine and travels back in time to help Bill and Ted get Wild Stallions going. Birthdays?
Chris Colfer is 31. Kurt on Glee, author of The Land of Stories, The Wishing Spell.
Jack McBrayer is 48 from 30 Rock of the Middle, Wreck-It Ralph.
There are few people who can play the characters that he plays as well as he does. Right. He is amazing. Speaking of amazing, Paul Bettany is 50 from Enemy at the Gate, Da Vinci Code, voice of Jarvis and Vision in Marvel Universe, but many of us were first introduced to him and fell in love with him in either Death at a Funeral or Knight's Tale.
Joseph Fiennes is 51 from Shakespeare in Love, Enemy at the Gates, American Horror Story.
More of a fan of his brother Ralph. Eddie McClintock is 54. He's Colonel Harper on Supergirl, but we know him best as Pete on Warehouse 13.
Todd Bridges is 56. That's Willis, of course, on Different Strokes. Everybody Hates Chris and his incredible performance on World's Dumbest.
Adam Carolla is 57 from The Man Show, Death on Family Guy, and of course is a podcaster.
Perry Gilpin is 60. That's Roz on Frasier, Final Fantasy Spirits Within, and Scorpion, What Was the Smartest Show on Television?
Lanai Quigley is 63. From Return of the Living Dead, Creepazoid, Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball, Bolorama, and if you ever get a chance, check out her workout tape. It's fantastic.
Richard Schiff is 66, Tank Girl, 7, Lost World, West Wing, Emil Hamilton, and Man of Steel.
Zach Norman is 81, from Cadillac Man, The Nanny, and as advertised for 8 years in Variety, Zach Norman is Sammy in Chief Zabu.
Louis Gossett Jr. is 85, from Officer and a Gentleman, Enemy Mine, Iron Eagle, Jaws 3, and Whoa, the Watchmen series? Dude.
I was always more of a fan of Jr. than the senior. Lee Merriweather is 85, Catwoman in Batman the Movie, The Time Tunnel, Betty on Barnaby Jones, but I was first introduced to her as Lily Munster on The Munsters Today.
No longer with us, born in state in 1837, Wild Bill Hickok, yahoo!
1894, Dashiell Hammett, an American detective and novelist and screenwriter, created Sam Spade and The Thin Man.
1911, Vincent Price from Last Man on Earth, not the TV show, Abominable Dr. Fibes, Egghead on the 66 Batman, and was Dr. Goldfoot in the Dr. Goldfoot movies.
Oh, nice. He was also used to hang out with Scooby-Doo a lot, too.
He did.
1922, Christopher Lee. Man with the Golden Gun, Dracula, Curse of Frankenstein, Sauron in Lord of the Rings, and of course, Count Dooku in Star Wars.
See how we left out Howling 2? 1934, Harlan Ellison wrote the Star Trek episode City on the Edge of Forever. Read the screenplay that he did. It's quite different. A Boy and His Dog and the incredible I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. Or you might call it a Monday.
On CBS, we've got a new Young Sheldon, United States of Al, Mom, Be Positive, and a rerun of Clarice.
ABC, it's a new Station 19, a new Grey's Anatomy, and Cruz disregards Rebel's advice as he searches for proof that the Stonemore valve is faulty on a new Rebel.
NBC has a new The Wall, a new Illinois Vu, and a new Illinois Ock.
Over on Fox, iHeartRadio Music Awards, a show that really matters. No, seriously. Byproducts.
The CW's rerun of Walker and a rerun of Legacies, because Lord knows they don't want to go up against the iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Freeform, Nicholas is having a rough day and finds solace in Suze, which leads Genevieve to test Nicholas on a new Everything is Gonna Be Okay.
AMC has U.S. Marshals.
Bravo. Stars from Portlandia visit the chefs and challenge them to use hipster ingredients and vintage equipment on a new Top Chef, and I can't wait.
Yeah, that should be a delight. FX has Instant Family.
Just add vodka. FXX Simpsons. You got Lisa the Simpson, Bart versus Lisa versus the third grade.
FXM has Assassin's Creed.
How could you get that wrong? If ever a video game was made for a movie, BBC America Underworld, followed by Underworld Awakening and Underworld Blood Wars, which is the first, the fourth, and the fifth. See, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Paramount has Back to the Future.
Sci-Fi Channel has Hellboy. Oh, it's not the Ron Perlman one.
All right. TCM. Current Classic Movies has a classic, fantastic movie, Arsenic and Old Lace.
Charge! True TV, Magic Man's best friend on a new Big Trick Energy, but tonight it's the Lifetime Movie Network. A former doctor escapes from a psychiatric facility and hides in an empty house, but is forced to retreat into the attic when a family moves in. As he watches them from above, he becomes obsessed with the 18-year-old daughter, making him better than Matt Gaetz. Eric Roberts and Grace Patterson star in Just What the Doctor Ordered.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Gabby and producer Roman are assigned to cover the murder of a gay man in a small town. Meanwhile, concerned with low ratings, Chad approaches Abe about the possibility of a co-anchor. Abe talks it over with his wife Lonnie, who convinces him a co-anchor might not be a bad thing. Especially considering that she is up for a hosting job for a new show on the network. She has been vying for that spot ever since her ratings bonanza she got covering that prison break. She's in the courthouse every day looking for stories, like the time she took down those L.A. doctors. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, and not a single one, unless you count people that just, you know, submit answers for where they think Chabby are without saying anything else. And I just don't think that'd be that interesting to read. But if you've got something interesting we could read, you should send it to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or tell us all about it in a voicemail or type it on up in one of those old-fashioned text messages. Just use the number.
510-GRD-CURL.
Insanity runs in my family. In fact, it practically gallops.
This is Kadavra, Kadavra Quivery. I'm the host of The Cellar. In each episode, I open my great big book and select a story that's certain to chill you. So watch for The Cellar. In the meantime, don't take candy from stranglers.
NoradaRadio.libsyn.com.
Hi, this is Zach Ward, otherwise known as Scut Farkas, and I double dog dare you to listen to Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah. And don't you dare ever get him confused with Zach Callison. That would just be damned ridiculous if you did.
Yeah, what kind of jerk is that?
You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Clodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Well, now's your chance for revenge. What are we playing, sir?
We've got Warhammer Age of Sigmar Stormground. Lead your highly customizable force and unlock new units, equipment, and skills in this dynamic turn-based game packed with fast-paced warfare. Build your legendary army and defy others in epic online duels. It's available now for the PC.
Mech Warrior 5 Mercenaries, a single-player mech warrior game 14 years after the last mainline entry made by the developers of Mech Warrior Online using the Unreal Engine 4 for the PC.
World's End Club, an action-adventure game being written and directed by Kotari Uchikashi, where 12-year-old elementary school students must work together in order to survive a death game. It's now available for the Switch.
Necromunda Hired Gun, a fast-paced FPS where you play a bounty hunter on Hive World Necromunda for the PC.
Operation Tango.
Dun, dun, dun.
It takes two to save the world. Dun, dun, dun. In this cooperative spy adventure, pair up with a friend as agent or hacker, with only your voices to connect you, and work together to bring high-tech global menace to its knees. Now available for the PC.
And if you don't do well next time that game's played, you have to sit in the van. Ghost and Goblins Resurrection, a reboot of the classic franchise for the Switch, the PC, the PS4, and the Xbox One.
Stonefly. Harness the wind and soar through the wilderness of Stonefly, a chill and tranquil action-adventure game about self-discovery, legacy, and belonging. Glide your mech strategically among beautiful flora and dangerous fauna, confronting hungry bugs, adventures, and memorable characters only on the PC.
Pixel Junk Eden 2. Jump, spin, swing, explore beautifully organic worlds on the Switch.
And finally, Sludge Life, a first-person open-world vandalism-centric stroll through a polluted island full of crank idiots and a vibe so thick you can taste it. Available now on Steam.
I kind of want to play that.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Legends of Tomorrow, you know, the most interestingly wacky superhero TV show of all time, with a team of C-list superheroes and anti-heroes traveling through time to fix variances that threaten the universe?
Yeah, which, you know, oftentimes is them.
John Constantine got brought back into it a few seasons ago when the bad guys became supernatural creatures, which led to an encounter with a deadly unicorn at Woodstock.
Oh, good thing everyone there was high, like I sound. Oh, I wonder if they blamed the unicorn on the brown acid.
Now the CW has announced that this December, we're going to be getting an hour-long animated special entitled Bebo Saves Christmas.
Yeah! Is Malice the Bumble?
The announcement doesn't even mention the legends, but rather the special will focus on Bebo going on an adventure to save Christmas. Ben Diskin will return as Bebo. Joining him will be Kimiko Glenn, Yvette Nicole Brown, Hugh Ferguson, Chris Kattan, Ernie Hudson as Santa, and former Legends of Tomorrow cast member Victor Garber narrating the special.
Now, this is Shwe.
Bebo, of course, is the building-sized stuffed bear toy that created the time aberration of New Valhalla due to becoming a god worshipped by Vikings.
Like many Christmas traditions, it's tied to the Vikings.
We know it's early, but this holiday season, get ready for cuteness overload and blue god rest ye merry gentlemen.
Victoria Aveyard's YA novel Red Queen, about a superpowered dystopia, is making its way to TV, and it's already attracted a big talent to not just play a major role, but head behind the camera as well.
Easier to do than off with their heads behind the camera.
Peacock has hired Elizabeth Banks to both direct and play a major supporting role in an adaptation of Red Queen, which she will also co-executive produce. The adaptation, written by Aveyard and Arrow showrunner Beth Schwartz, is a co-production with Warner Brothers TV.
I could have done it in a much more complicated way.
Set in a near-future America ruled by powered individuals who have overthrown democracy to lead the nation as a superpowered monarchy, Red Queen follows a young woman named Mare, who after a childhood of scraping by to survive with her family in poverty...
Wow, it's just like looking into a crystal ball.
...discovers that she, unlike the vast majority of the population, has superpowers too. Catapulted to the public face of a revolution against the powered ruling elite, Mare finds herself on the front line of a conflict... while she tries to figure out who she really is.
The White Queen!
Possible spoilers. We don't know if that's an actual spoiler. Although, she could be whoever she wants to be, because the truth doesn't matter. It only matters what people believe. And there you go. Now you don't have to watch the 51 prequels to understand what's happening in the movie.
The Mistress of the Dark and the Master of the Macabre are reuniting in a new comic series from Dynamite with Elvira Meets Vincent Price, set to launch this coming August.
Once in his lifetime, every artist feels the hand of God and creates something that comes alive.
The two titans of horror and comedy unite in comics for the very first time. Dynamite Entertainment proudly presents Elvira Meets Vincent Price, the company announced.
It's a pity you don't know when you've started your game of murder that I was playing too!
Elvira is back with her most historic and greatest co-star ever. The ghost of Vincent Price is a spirit with a mission, and only the Mistress of the Dark can help. The apocalypse is coming, of course, and it's going to be live-streamed for binge-watching, but a long-lost movie can save the world. If only the movie star Spectre and the horror hostess with the mostest can find it in time. Thrills, chills, and all sorts of terrible puns!
Get out my pendulum, kiddies. I feel like swinging!
Issue number one features an all-star cast of cover artists, including Dave Acosta, John Royal, series artist John Samu, and a stunning photo of the gorgeous lady herself, Elvira. The first issue of Elvira Meets Vincent Price will be available on August 4th, 2021. In Y'all's neighborhood.
Blumhouse Television will adapt famed podcast The Battersea Poltergeist into an ongoing scripted series titled Blumhouse's Ghost Story.
As long as this gets us closer to Welcome to Night Vale.
Production company is also readying a companion unscripted series. They picked up the life rights of Shirley Hitchings, as well as the book The Poltergeist Prince of London, which she co-wrote with James Clark, which has also been acquired.
I didn't know Tangina Barons had so many adventures.
The original podcast, which hit more than 3 million downloads per month, documents the strange events focused around Hitchings in 1956 that were investigated over a 12-year period. The longest documented poltergeist haunting in history.
I guess you could call that poltergeist the legacy. That shows time has long passed.
Nice. I'm glad I'm not the only one who remembers Poltergeist the Legacy.
Do you remember it had a third season on Sci-Fi when it was Sci-Fi?
Nope.
Me either.
The scripted series will be a co-production between Blumhouse and BBC, which commissioned the original podcast. The aim is to launch a lucrative franchise and possible anthology exploring various ghost stories, which does sound like fun, as long as they skip the high-rise antics of Poltergeist 3, which is why I think the true sequel to the series is Poltergeist.
And we have to go out on a sad note. Disney animated films are quite well-known for their recognizable, unmistakable voices, but few fit that bill quite so much as Samuel E. Wright, who voiced Sebastian, the lovable crab of the 1989 smash The Little Mermaid, unforgettably singing the Oscar-winning song Under the Sea. And while Wright's voice will live in our hearts forever, he has died at the age of 84. Besides the voice of Sebastian, Wright originated the role of Mufasa in the stage version of The Lion King, for which he was nominated for a Tony for Best Featured Actor in a Musical, and voiced Krom the Iguanodon in Dinosaur. He also reprised the Sebastian role in numerous other projects. If you've heard that character in a game or a direct-to-video sequel, it was pretty much him. Wright had been acting for several years before he began working with Disney, appearing on TV shows like The Cosby Show and Enos, the long-forgotten spinoff of The Dukes of Hazzard. After The Little Mermaid, he used his fame to great success, promoting the arts in and around New York's Hudson Valley, where he and his family lived. The Hudson Valley Conservatory, a nonprofit organization that puts on all kinds of shows and offers opportunities in the arts. Sam and his family have impacted countless Hudson Valley youth, always inspiring them to reach higher and dig deeper to become the best version of themselves. On top of his passion for the arts and his love for his family, Sam was most known for walking into a room and simply providing pure joy to those he interacted with. He loved to entertain, he loved to make people smile and laugh, and he loved to love. And you did, sir, and will continue to do so forever. So thank you. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
Such an amazing voice. So iconic and unique.
You know, because everyone has like, you know, because everyone that does impressions has a Christopher Walken. But even people that don't do impressions have a Sebastian impression. It's that good of a voice. It's just that damn good. Drop us a note and tell us. Tell us about the awkward time you tried to sing Under the Sea, you know, Kiss the Girl or something. Any one of those to someone when you were in high school. Drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Voicemail, text, message. Either way, you need the numbers.
510-GRD.
And we'll see you.
Come where it's better, down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Good night, suckers.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Come in, Sebastian.
I mustn't overreact. I must remain calm.
Yes!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Yes, Sebastian, I'm concerned about Ariel. Have you noticed she's been acting peculiar lately?
Peculiar?
You know, mooning about, daydreaming, singing to herself. You haven't noticed, Sebastian. I know you've been keeping something from me.
Keeping something?
About Ariel.
Ariel?
In love?
I tried to stop her, sir. She wouldn't listen. I told her to stay away from humans. They are bad. They are trouble.
Humans? What about humans?
Humans? Who said anything about humans?